You have your Bibles,
2 Timothy chapter number 1. Praise the Lord. I love this book. It's a book of encouragement to any preacher, but to young preachers especially. You know, when you understand the context of what exactly is going on, and you know, this is the last letter to leave the pen of Paul under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have it here in our Bible this evening. And he writes it to Timothy, his son in the faith, a young man that he won to the Lord. And we know that the testimony of a faithful grandmother and a faithful mother played part in that. And Timothy devoted his life to Christ and decided that he was going to serve Christ and that he was going to pastor a church and that he was going to live for God and that he was going to win people for the cause of Christ. And this is a letter of encouragement, but as much as it's a letter of encouragement, it's a letter of instruction. Amen. From the apostle to this young man, Timothy. And what I'd like to do tonight is I'd like to bring you a message concerning some things that every Christian has to have. Some things that every Christian has to have. And it's right here out of the first couple of verses in this book in your Bible, in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And I want to read a little bit about it. We're going to draw our message tonight from the 7th verse. But if we could grasp these things, if we could get a hold of these three things that we're going to pull out of the Scripture here tonight, I believe that God could use us all for His glory. Amen. Three essential things that we have to have to survive in this wicked world as a Christian. Would you read with me in chapter number 1 and verse number 1? The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And listen closely to the following two verses. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which was in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Oh God, you're so good to us tonight. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for these folks that you brought out to your house tonight. And God, I pray that you wouldn't let me get in the way of this service, God, but that you just use me as a vessel to speak the message that you'd have me to speak, God. And Lord, I pray that every word and every thought in this hour might be directed of your Holy Spirit. And God, that I would not get in the way of this, but Lord, that you would use me to enable these folks, Lord, to help these folks, to encourage them, God, to live for you. Lord, I've seen it so many a times be true in my life. Lord, your word is always faithful and true. And God, I pray that as we preach now, I pray, God, that you'd help me, Father, Lord, to preach what you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. I would be a liar behind the pulpit tonight if I would stand up here and tell you that there have not been times in my walk with Christ and in my walk with God that I have not been fearful. I would be a liar in here tonight if I were to tell you that it was not a fearful thing for me to step out by faith to come and be the pastor of a church in Ashland, Kentucky. It's not all too far from my family in West Virginia, but it's not just a hop, skip, and a jump away. You know, I'm away from all the people that I know, all the people that I'm familiar with, all the people that I could, you know, with a phone call and a 5-minute drive, I could be at their house to talk with them, so they could comfort me, so they could counsel me, so they could help me. I'm no longer that close to my pastor anymore. And you know, as a member in a church, and now as the pastor of a church, I understand that God has entrusted me with a great job to do, and I do not take it lightly. I'm telling you, I know that this week that I'm going to be working myself up, getting all nervous about Sunday night, about the Lord's table, about serving communion, because that is a big deal. That's a big deal, amen? So many oftentimes it's pushed off as something that's not that important, or it's just treated like it's just another church service. But let me say that it's just as important as when you got baptized. Amen. We understand that God, when He instituted the local church, He gave them two ordinances, two things that He directly ordered the local church to do. That was one, to be baptized into the church, and two, to take part in the Lord's table. Amen. To do it in remembrance of what He did for us, the sacrifice that He made. It's such an important thing. And when God talks about the local church and He talks about the body through which He works presently in this world, the local church, and He talks about those ordinances and those things He's entrusted with the church, that's a big deal. God really means business right there. That stuff is important to me, to say that I'm not fearful, to say that there are not times when I think, well, Brother Larry, I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I can handle that. It seems like it's just too big of a job for me to handle. To say that there are never moments like that in my life would make me a liar. But I am glad in here this evening. I am glad that here tonight and for every other night, for every other Wednesday night, for the rest of my life, that I have a God who is faithful to be there with me, and that I have a God who can supply me and equip me with everything that He requires of me. Amen. And this Bible right here in 2 Timothy in chapter number 1, as Paul addresses Timothy and he's writing to him and he's encouraging to him, he tells him, he says, the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear. The Lord has not given you the spirit of fear. So in those times, we have to understand that that is coming from our flesh. That is coming from our carnal nature, because what you and I have in our nature, ingrained in every fiber of our being, is to doubt God. Amen. We want to see things. We want to be sure of things. But the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so by faith, we trust the living Word of God, that God can give us and equip us with what we need to overcome this fear. And what I believe tonight is that these three things that Paul mentions to Timothy are absolutely essential if you and I want to live for God, if you and I want to please God, if you and I want to have any hope of presenting God with a life one day when it's completed and it's finished and we've run our course and we've finished it. We can present God with a life and a testimony that is pleasing to Him. And he gives it to Timothy right here. He says three things. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. If we're going to overcome our sin nature and the fear that overcomes us in this life and the obstacles that life is going to throw at us, we have to have the power of God. Amen. In the Gospels, the Bible tells us that there were disciples that doubted the testimony of Christ, and they doubted the testimony that Jesus had of the miracles He was performing. And he told them, peace be still. He said, all power is given unto me. God is the source of all power. That means any power from any resource, anywhere, is delegated by God Almighty, because He is the source of all that power. We have a God who is not, He doesn't have a limit of power. He doesn't have a whole lot of power, but He has all power. Everybody say that with me. All power. There is literally nothing that God cannot do. Amen. He asked the prophet Jeremiah, He said, behold, I'm the Lord God of all flesh. He said, is there anything too hard for me? Amen. I think many a times, I think it'd be good for all of us, myself included, to have a face-to-face encounter with God as a whirlwind like Job did in Job chapter number 38. Hey, Job got right up there in God's grill and he said, God, what are you doing with this and that, this and that, this and that? And he was questioning God, and God said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Where were you when I stretched out the foundations and I put all the stars and all the planets and all the luminaries of the universe out right there into the nothing? When I created all, He said, where were you? And Job had no answer for Him, did he? It humbled him. I believe it'd be good for us all to realize in here tonight that we have a God with limitless power. Amen. The Bible tells us, in the book of Micah, Micah's preaching and he said, but truly I am full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. I want us to realize that at that time, the man of God that he is using, Micah the prophet, he's literally coming up against everybody. It is him versus everybody, him versus the whole world. But he says the power of God is what gave him the strength and the courage and the willpower to go out and to preach and to declare the transgression of Jacob's people or of Israel or of God's people. And he goes up and he stands in the face of wickedness and he stands in the face of sin. And we're living in a present world that is completely saturated with the wickedness of this world. It's saturated with the ways of the devil. It's saturated with the ways of the flesh. It's saturated with things that are anti-God. It just seems like everywhere you go, people hate God. But in the power of God, we can stand knowing that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ and that we don't have to be fearful because we have a God who can supply our needs. Amen. We have to have the power of God. I heard a story of a man who worked at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, when Jack Hiles was the pastor, and he said that this phrase was everywhere in his house, in his car, in his office. He said, you picked up the phone and it said, pray for power. He said, I would go and I would get in Jack's car and I would pull the sun visor down and it said, pray for power. So I'd pull the glove compartment open and it would say, pray for power. And he said that he asked Brother Jack about that. He asked that preacher about that. And he said, every time I see that, I pray for the power of God because he said, I cannot make it otherwise. You and I have to have the power of God in our lives. Amen. Don't just pray. Well, pray for your preacher to have the power of God, but don't just pray for preachers to have the power of God. You can have the power of God if you're not a preacher.
Amen.
You young folks sitting right there in the pew, you can have the power of God in your lives when you go to school and you tell people about Jesus and you invite people to church. You can have the power of God. We have to have the power of God. But not only do we have the power of God, we need the power of God. We need the passion of God. What's it say? For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and what? Of love. You and I don't believe that you and I can live a life that's pleasing to God without that love. First and foremost, I don't believe that you and I can comprehend love without knowing God. Amen. And wanting to seek God and wanting to walk with God. I don't believe that you can know true love until you're in tune with the Holy Ghost of God, until you've been saved, until you've been regenerated. I don't believe that you can understand just how great and how wonderful and how mighty the love of God is. And even us as Christians, I'm not sure that we can understand the full depth and the greatness and the amount and the vastness of the love of God. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and now abideth both faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. It's speaking of love. You know, I can get up and preach my lungs out, and I can pastor this church, and I can knock on 100 doors a day, and I can do this and that, and visit people in the hospital, and the nursing home, and hospice, and everything, and drive 10 miles, and drive 100 miles, drive 1,000 miles to go and witness to somebody's family member who's not saved. But if I'm not doing any of it in love, it's not getting anything accomplished. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you from Ephesians chapter number 3, because when I get the feeling like my heart's not necessarily right and I'm not keeping myself in the love of God, I like to go and read this scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, it says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. It's talking about that power of God that we need. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That means everything that we do ought to stem somehow, some way. It ought to be traced back to roots that are grounded in the love of God. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. I tell you what, I would not give you a nickel for a preacher that has all the knowledge in the world but doesn't have the love of God in their heart. Somebody that knows that Bible from front to back, upside down, inside out, right side in, whatever, however you want to say it. They know that thing better than anybody, but they don't have the love of God. I wouldn't give you a nickel for them. Because the Bible says the love of Christ passeth knowledge. Amen. That you might be filled with the fullness of God. The Bible tells us in Jude, in verse number 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Mm-hmm. And if you're anything like me, and I think you are, because I believe we're all made out of the same stuff in here this evening. There are times when you don't necessarily feel like you are kept in the love of God. Somebody say amen right there. Yeah. Hey, preachers are people too, amen. I'm being transparent. There are times when I don't feel like I'm kept in the love of God. There are times when I feel like I'm talking road rage, I'm talking angry, I mean carnal. Pray for me. Y'all are more spiritual than I am. But the Bible tells us to keep ourselves in the love of God.
Amen.
What's it say? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You remind yourself of that mercy. You remind yourself of Calvary. That's how you keep yourself in the love of God. But not only do we need the power of God and the passion of God, I pray this will help somebody tonight because it sure has helped me plenty, plenty of times. We need the peace of God. You say, how do you get that peace of God? For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I've never met someone that didn't have the peace of God, Brother Larry, and thought to myself, you know, they've got that sound mind that Paul was talking about. You see, people, there's people that can walk up and down Wall Street and they can rack up $200,000 in a day trading stocks. And you know what happens when they get home? They can't sleep. They worry themselves sick. They have to take sleeping pills to go to bed. They wake up and they have to take 15 Prozac just to make it through the day, and they're so stressed out and they're so freaked out and they're so worried about everything. And they're miserable.
Amen.
And they got the suits and the cars and the supermodel wife and all that stuff that you see on TV that the world says you need.
Yeah.
But up here, everything's wrong. They don't have any peace about themselves. The Bible says in Colossians chapter number 3, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts.
Amen.
To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There's a lady back at my home church at Taze Valley, and her name is Brenda Cook. And Brenda has an immune deficiency. And when I say she is in the hospital every month, I mean, she is in the hospital every month. That was one of my responsibilities, was visiting people in the hospital on Thursdays and Fridays. And Miss Brenda, she's not just, you know, in and out by 5 and in. It's like she would be in there for 30, 40 days at a time, and she'd be home for 2 weeks, and she'd be right back in. And there's times when she'll go in, and one thing will be wrong, and she'll get out, and they'll treat it, and then she'll get an infection. She'll have to come back in, and then she'll come home, and then she'll get sent there for some kind of respiratory infection. And it seems like it's never the same thing that's plaguing her. It's just constantly different things. But I tell you, when I talk to her, when I visit her, I get more of a blessing out of visiting her every time I see her, I'm sure, than she does of seeing me, because of the attitude that she has.
Amen.
Just the attitude she has. I remember the first time I really talked to her. I just come on staff at Taze Valley as an intern about 3.5 years ago, and I was talking with her, and I was just kind of sitting off in the corner while my friend, the pastor, he was talking to her, and she said something to me. She's always got a great attitude. She said, "What do you think?" And I said, "I don't know." I said, "I've never met anybody like you in my life." And she said, "Oh man, I don't know what you mean by that. That's either good or bad." And I said, I mean, I've never met anybody like you in my life that has such a positive attitude when you're going through all this." Mm-hmm. You know why she's got such a positive attitude? Because the peace of God rules in her heart.
Amen.
She doesn't let the outside circumstances of life pressure her and push her and weigh her down. She doesn't let them worry her sick at night, because the peace of God has rule over all that. The Bible says that God will give us peace that passeth all understanding. And when the world can look at you and say, I don't know how Brother Tom is making it. I don't know how he's doing it. I don't know what his secret is. But he knows what it is. It's the peace of God that has rule and reign in our hearts. Amen. In those situations, in those times when we feel overwhelmed, when we feel like there's no way that we're going to come out of it, God brings us through the night. Amen. The Bible says in Titus chapter number 2, of a sound mind, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, and in patience. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity." You know what Paul was saying to Titus? He was saying, it ain't just something we tell the young people. It works for everybody. Being sober-minded, having that sound mind, having your heart and your mind fixed on Christ and the peace of God. The Bible says, "Thou art able to keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Amen. You just keep your mind on Jesus. He'll take care of the rest. You keep your mind on Him.
Thank you. Amen.
1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." In those times that it gets hard, in those times when it gets unbearable, in those times when you get fearful, just like Timothy did, just like I have, just like you have before, just look around you. Look at what God has done in the lives of each and every single person in this sanctuary at one time or another. When it got real hard for them, God brought them through it. How did He do that? Because they had the power of God, they kept the passion of God, and they had the peace of God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to talk to you for just a moment. Now, I was preparing all day today. Every head still bowed and every eye still closed. But I was preparing all day today for a sermon. And about 2.5 hours ago, God told me to preach this. God told me to preach something different. And I do not believe that He would have had me preach this if it wasn't for somebody in here. And if it wasn't for somebody in here, I know it was for me. Amen. I know I needed to hear it. I know I needed reminded of it. Amen. But I invite you this evening, maybe God spoke to your heart. Maybe it's the power of God. Maybe you just don't feel like you have that zeal like you used to have. Maybe you just don't feel that edge like you used to have. Maybe you just feel like the power of God is something you're missing in your life. Maybe you feel like that love has started to simmer out and to die out. Maybe you just need God to give you a good dose of the Holy Ghost love that the Bible says is shed abroad in our hearts by our hope in Christ. Maybe you're in here tonight and you need the peace of God. You say, "God, I need that sound mind. I need you to give me peace. There's no way I can handle these things on my own. I need that peace." Well, I tell you tonight, it'd be awful good for us to come and get on the altar and just pray and ask God to help us. As the song of invitation plays, I invite you to come and to pray.